Would you turn in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews? Chapter 11. We're working our way through Hebrews chapter 11 here on Sunday mornings. Did everybody get to Hebrews chapter 11? All right, put a bookmark there. Put your finger there and now turn left all the way to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 22. We're going to start this morning in Genesis 22 and then we're going to end in Hebrews chapter 11. Is that a deal? All right. Father, I pray that you would bless our time in your word. We do give thanks for all that you've done, for all who you are. Lord, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the tremendous cost that you are willing to pay for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you even when times are uncertain. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you even when you call us into uncharted waters and through times in life that are confusing, that don't make sense. Thank you for being with us, for never leaving us or forsaking us. Bless this time, I pray, in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Abraham is called the father of faith, and his faith was so special that he shows up in Hebrews chapter 11 not once, but twice. He is like the ultimate example of faith. First, he shows up for following the Lord into the great unknown, leaving his home, stepping out in faith, going to a place that he'd never been. We studied that a couple of weeks ago, that incredible step of faith. And then second, he's in Hebrews chapter 11 for what he does here in Genesis chapter 22. We're about to read one of the greatest acts of faith in all of human history. The Lord commanded Abraham to do the unthinkable. In Genesis chapter 22. Notice what it says in verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he, the Lord, said to Abraham, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Isaac was Abraham and Sarah's miracle boy. At this point here in Genesis chapter 22, Isaac is 17 years old. And God commanded Abraham to offer his 17-year-old son as a burnt offering. "Give your son's life to me," God said. Now, under the law of Moses, when an animal was offered as a burnt offering, the details are pretty graphic. The offerer brings their animal right next to the altar of burnt offering in the courts of the tabernacle. The offerer places his hand on the head of the animal, slits the throat. Blood is poured out all over the altar. Then the animal is dismembered, cut into several pieces, then arranged on the altar where it is entirely consumed by fire. God commanded Abraham to do something like that with his 17-year-old son. Now, it's horrific. We can't imagine that being an actual command. And certainly Abraham experienced every type of aversion that you could have towards such a command. There was an emotional aspect. Abraham loved his son. In fact, God knew it. God said, take your son whom you love. Isaac was Abraham's pride and joy. He had great affection for his son. I can't imagine sacrificing my son. The love of a father for a son is one of the strongest loves there is. This command made absolutely no sense. Isaac was the child of promise. God had promised Abraham that a great nation would come from his body, that he would have descendants. And God had shown Abraham that this promise would be fulfilled through his son Isaac. Isaac's 17. He's not married. He doesn't have kids. Makes no sense for Isaac to be killed. And then most disturbingly, this command makes no sense ethically. Child sacrifice is detestable. I mean, admit it. You read this command here and you think, what kind of God commands something like that? It seems very cruel. It seems heartless. Understand something. Now, there's a very important word that I want you to see in verse 1. It says, now it came to pass after these things that God, what? Tested Abraham. Please understand, this was a test. God never intended Abraham to go through with this sacrifice. You say, okay, but it's sort of a cruel test. Now understand something. We're going really deep here in Genesis chapter 22. God had a specific purpose for this test. God was communicating something, revealing something to Abraham in this test. In fact, I think God was answering a question that Abraham had been pondering for years with this test. And it's a question and an answer that has tremendous significance for the entire human race, not just Abraham. But Abraham didn't know this was a test. As the reader, we know this is a test. Abraham didn't. All he knows at this point is that God had commanded him to sacrifice his son. And Abraham, not understanding, no doubt thinking this is crazy, trusted God. Obeyed God, moved forward. And you're going to see, he knew that God would take care of everything through this whole process. Verse 3, it says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Abraham's obedience was unquestioning. We don't read of there being any arguing. Abraham did not complain. Abraham did not question. His obedience was immediate. He didn't take several days or weeks to ponder the command. In fact, he got started very early. It says he got up early the very next morning. Saddled the donkey, got his two servants, woke up the sleeping teenager Isaac, cut the wood, and immediately they began a 50-mile journey north from Beersheba into the land of Moriah. a journey that would take 3 days. Abraham obeyed. Verse 4 says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. So the third day they arrive at the land of Moriah, and this is very important to understand, a key detail. The Lord directed Abraham to a specific mount, a specific place in Moriah. This offering would take place at a specific place. Abraham says to the two servants, you stay here with the donkey, me and the boy, we're going to take it along. We're going to take it alone. And notice, he does say to the servants, we're going and we're coming back. Abraham all along knew God is going to work this out. He's trusting God. He's having faith. Isaac carries the wood on his back to the specific place in Moriah. The father carries the knife and the fire to the specific place. Abraham is going to obey this to the end. Verse 7. They're walking toward that specific mount. And it says, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? That's a heart-wrenching detail, isn't it? I think if I were dad, that's where I would lose it. Isaac doesn't know everything that's going on yet, but he knows something is up. Dad, we got the wood. We got the knife. We got the fire. Where's the lamb? Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. See Abraham's faith. And understand that throughout this whole test, Abraham's discovering something very important. My son, God will provide the lamb. Verse 9, they came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. How can a man do that? Now, I have to believe at this point that Isaac knew what was going on. And I tend to believe that Isaac submitted, that he cooperated. And I say that because Isaac's 17 years old. Abraham's 117. A 17-year-old boy is a lot more limber and stronger than a 117-year-old man. And I think Isaac could have escaped. But he submitted. I don't think there was a struggle. So father and son, with the knife raised, Abraham about to plunge the knife and give his son to the Lord. I believe that knife was outstretched for a long time. I believe it felt like an eternity. And right at the last moment, verse 11, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham, don't do it. I think Abraham breathed a big sigh of relief. I think Isaac probably breathed a bigger sigh of relief, don't you think? Interesting detail here. Whenever you see the term the angel of the Lord, you'll notice that the A's capitalized of the Lord. A lot of people believe that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is an Old Testament appearance of Christ. The Son of God, pre-Bethlehem, pre-Mary. Jesus stopped Abraham. Jesus spoke to Abraham, don't do it. And Abraham, well, he passed the test. Abraham in this test showed that the Lord was more important to him than anybody else. And the Lord says to Abraham, now I know that you fear me above everyone else. Well, look at the details as it continues. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Understand, that's very interesting. A ram, not a lamb. Abraham had said, the Lord will provide a lamb. A lamb was not provided, but a ram was. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Notice, Abraham didn't call that place the Lord provided. He called that place the Lord will provide. And that special mountain would become known as the mount where the Lord would provide. Do you see that Abraham's discovering something? In obeying the Lord and going through this incredible test. Verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And verse 18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Something special is going on here. Something very deep. Does this story remind you of any other sacrifice? Is this passage prophetic? It most certainly does remind us of another sacrifice. Everything about this test points to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for the sins of the world. Everything about this test points to the sacrifice that God the Father would make in sacrificing his son. It's all there. Verse 2 of chapter 22 has been called the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only unique begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The specific place that God directed Abraham, a specific mountain on Mount Moriah, we know what that mountain is, Mount Zion, where years later Jerusalem would be built. Where 2,000 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ would be crucified on Mount Zion for the sins of the world. Isaac carried wood to his place of sacrifice. So Jesus carried the cross to his place of sacrifice. The Father brought fire. And so we know at the cross of Jesus Christ, the fire of God the Father, the wrath of God was poured out upon him for the sins of the world. As Isaac showed no struggle, remember that Jesus showed no struggle. Jesus offered himself. In fact, the only glaring difference between the story here in Genesis chapter 22 and what Jesus did was that Isaac was saved. In Isaac's case, the knife didn't fall. In the case of Jesus, the knife fell. Everything about this story points to the ultimate sacrifice that was made. So God, in bringing Abraham through this test, never intended for Abraham to sacrifice his own son. The whole purpose was for Abraham to taste and experience what God would do with his son. God had made amazing promises to Abraham. You remember, "Get out of your country. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless you. A great nation is going to come from your body. Your descendants are going to be like the stars." And I think Abraham understood that. But remember what else God promised Abraham. Early on, God said to Abraham, "In you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Here in Genesis chapter 22, the Lord says to Abraham, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And I think that's the part that puzzled Abraham for many years. How are all the nations going to be blessed through me? Through my seed? In this test, God showed him. God says, "All the nations will be blessed through a father's sacrifice of a son." And I honestly believe that as hard as this test was for Abraham, in him going through it, he becomes the first man in history to understand the mechanics of salvation and the depths of what God would do, and to feel all the emotion of it, the pain of it, and then the joy of it. 2,000 years later, Jesus, in speaking to some Pharisees in John chapter 8, had this to say about Abraham. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." How in the world did Abraham see Christ's day 2,000 years later? I think it was here that Abraham was given the whole picture. I think he saw Jesus. I think he lived it. He tasted it. He felt it. By faith, Abraham came to understand salvation and the cost of salvation. You know, it really is. It's an amazing story. And in this experience for Abraham, of course, we can see why all nations are blessed in the seed of Abraham. Because it is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary that makes it possible for us all to be forgiven, to be made right with him. And that is true not just for the Jew, but for all nations. Abraham saw so much, experienced so much through his faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at the commentary. Verse 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding, I love this, here's what he was thinking, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. How was Abraham able to go through this test by faith? Notice that it says, by faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. In the Greek language, that word for offered is in the perfect tense, and it refers to a completed act. Here's it. In Abraham's mind, Isaac had already been offered. It was a completed task. See, Abraham was a man who had finally allowed God to be number one in his life. Abraham had completely surrendered. Nobody was more important. He'd not only offered up his son to the Lord, he offered up his job, his home, everything. God became first place in Abraham's life. And Abraham, by faith, knew that he could trust his God with anything, no matter how crazy it looks. It's interesting, it says, by faith he concluded that God was able to raise him up. That word for conclude is a word from which we get our word logarithm. It speaks of calculating or computing, doing math. Now, a lot of times we think faith and calculating don't go hand in hand. No, they do. Abraham's logic was this. God promised that nations would come through me. God promised that Isaac would be the fulfillment of that. God will move in such a way to make that happen. I trust God. I'm going through with this. God is either going to intervene, or if Isaac is killed, God's going to raise him from the dead. Which, by the way, was a huge step of faith, but made sense. And that was huge. This was before there was ever been a resurrection. This is pre-Easter. This is pre-Lazarus. Abraham believed that God would raise him. That's how he was able to do it. That's how he was able to live that life of faith. My brother and sister in Christ, the life of Abraham teaches us to put God first, to surrender all things to him. And the life of Abraham teaches us to trust God with everything in life, to understand that God's got all of the plan. Yeah, things look crazy. Things look confusing here, but we can trust him. By the way, we can trust him with our very lives, and we can trust him with the lives of those closest to us. God knows what he's doing. Hold on to him. You know, the Bible does command us as Christians to surrender everything. Even the Isaac. And I know that that can look very, very scary for some people. A lot of people think, well, I'll give God this, but not this. Listen, God wants to be first place in your life. Because that is the safest place for you. And everything that you give to God, God's going to touch with blessing and purpose and meaning. So give it all to him. Now the story of Abraham here in Genesis chapter 22 is that he had faith in the son that would be sacrificed 2,000 years before it happened. So here we are, 2,000 years later after it's happened. And I'll ask you, have you placed your faith in Christ? Do you understand the price that was paid? Do you see the emotion in it? God loves you. God wants to save you. And you can be saved through faith in Christ who died on the cross for you and on the third day rose again. The plan that was in God's mind before the foundation of the world. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Lord, there is no way to fathom the depths of what you did for us. Lord, for all of eternity, we will marvel at the price you paid. And for all of eternity, you will be praised. So as your people, Lord, I pray that we would live lives of sacrifice back to you. That you would be number one in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would trust you with all the matters, all the things that happen in this life. Nothing would take us away from faith in you. And I pray that we would live in such a way as to point others to you. And then, Lord, I also want to pray for anyone here this morning who has not yet placed their faith in you. Maybe that's you. Maybe the Lord brought you here. Maybe you're listening online right now. And you had no idea the price that was paid for you. Jesus was sent to die on the cross for your sins, and he rose again the third day. And if you place your faith in him, your sins will be forgiven, washed away. You will become right with God. You will become a child in his family, a member in his kingdom. Don't say no. Say yes. Receive him. Look at the cost. Look what he did. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, in the quietness of your heart, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for being the lamb slain. Thank you for the price you paid. I bow before you. I admit that I'm a sinner. And I invite you right now to be my Lord and Savior. Wash away all my sins. Make me yours. Fill me with your Spirit. And help me to follow you for the rest of my days. Amen. Let's stand.